There's no doubt we live in anxious, tumultuous times. Byron Barlow offers ways you can change your perspective and thinking now on Probe.
Millions of people worldwide are battling anxiety in a tumultuous time. The coronavirus pandemic response has created a new abnormal, heightened fear of sickness and death, economic damage, and social isolation. Loneliness is the number one health crisis in America, according to many epidemiologists, psychiatrists, and social scientists. While we're still reeling from all this, racial strife has erupted into lootings, killings, and anarchy in American streets. Mental health is an increasing concern, too. One study found that during the spring 2020 mass quarantine, prescriptions for anti-anxiety meds spiked. A San Francisco area hospital has seen more deaths by suicide than by COVID-19, prompting a call for an end to mass shutdowns. It's been a perfect storm of stress. Are there real solutions right now? Yes. Brain science is confirming the truths and promises proclaimed in Scripture in exciting ways. We have wonderfully adaptive minds, especially when they're focused on God. These built-in mind-morphing capabilities show the genius of our design as image-bearers of God. Audiologist, cognitive researcher, and outspoken Christian Dr. Caroline Leaf writes, "As an individual, you are capable of making mental and emotional change in your life. Through your thinking, you can actively recreate thoughts and therefore knowledge in your mind." And this has profound implications for true hope. Leaf continues, "Thoughts are real, physical things that occupy mental real estate. Moment by moment, every day, you are changing the structure of your brain through your thinking." It's happening right now as you listen. "When we hope, it is an activity of the mind that changes the structure of your brain in a positive and normal direction. The biblical book of Hebrews defines faith as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The thankful, attentive, willfully hopeful mind creates positive emotions, thoughts, and acts of the will. In other words, we significantly control whether we have a healthy soul." Dallas Willard writes, "The transformation of the self away from a life of fear and insufficiency takes place as we fix our mind upon God as He truly is. As Scripture teaches, be transformed by the renewing of your mind." This week we'll explore this transformation.
You've been listening to Probe with your host, Byron Barlow. Get your free copy of Byron's transcript, Addressing Anxiety in Tumultuous Times, at probe.org. Again, that's probe.org. Then join us next time as we help you apply God's truth to everyday life here on Probe.
Everyday stress is hard enough, but what about work-related anxiety? Money, riots, memories of abuse, bullying, and abandonment. We have little control over family, culture, or epidemics, but we can make amazing internal changes through our responses. Science and Scripture agree on this. The transforming mind renewal encouraged by Scripture is possible for us all, especially those who've invited God to lead their lives. We can intentionally train our minds to reshape our brains. We are not perpetual victims of our pasts or circumstances, nor are humans mere products of matter in motion. Dr. Caroline Leaf, author of Switch on Your Brain, claims that choice is real and free will exists. You are able to stand outside yourself, observe your own thinking, consult with God, and work with Him to change the negative toxic thought or grow a healthy, positive thought. When you do this, your brain responds with a positive neurochemical rush and structural changes that improve your intellect, health, and peace. Even traumatic memories can be starved, defanged, broken down, and replaced. Brought into conscious awareness, they can become plastic enough to be recreated. Leaf explains that neurons that don't get enough signal, that is, rehearsing of the negative event, will start firing apart, wiring apart, pulling out, and destroying the emotion attached to the trauma. Also, desirable brain chemicals that bond and remold chemical connections that increase focus and attention and increase feelings of peace and happiness begin to weaken traumatic memories even more. So, bad memories, hatred, hurt, and other negative thoughts and emotions that form toxic beliefs, if they stop firing together, they will no longer wire together. This leads to rebuilding new ones. Ideas have consequences, and our beliefs guide our behavior. In the words of King Solomon, "As a man thinks, in his heart, so he is." Science seems to confirm this biblical view of self-control. Measuring magnetic fields, electrical impulses, chemical effects, photons, vibrations, and quantum energy paints a picture of intricately networking neurotransmitters, proteins, and energy, that is, signals, that change the brain's landscape. This neuroplasticity seems to be God's design for renewing the mind. And there's nothing magic about it. Overcoming anxiety can be helped a lot through habits of the mind and heart and soul. We'll explore this tomorrow. It's no wonder that the concept of mindfulness has become a thing these days. Meditation and concentration are new old survival skills. How do they work? Well, Dr. J.P. Moreland, noted philosopher and author of Finding Quiet, My Story of Overcoming Anxiety and the Practices That Brought Peace, candidly shares his struggles with anxiety and the need he had for medications. He also discovered the power of seeking God in self-directed solitude. This is not Eastern mysticism. He emphasizes sustained habits of the praising, thankful, and self-controlled soul. Mindful meditation is not like taking a drug. It's not a quick fix or denying the senses to rid oneself of desire. By charting new pathways in the brain, mindfulness can change the banter inside our heads from chaotic to calm. New habits are formed over time. When it comes to our minds, practice doesn't make perfect, it makes permanent. Remaining at rest via the practice of spiritual disciplines takes advantage of our mind's ability to move into a highly intelligent, self-reflective, directed state. This exercise switches brain modes in a way that can create wisdom and potential connection with God. As Jesus taught his disciples, keep awake, give strict attention, be cautious and active, and watch and pray that you may not come into temptation. We can mentor our minds, settle our souls, habituate our hearts, and free our spirits to respond to God. Brain science is catching up on this reality. So what's going on physically when we stop to meditate and focus solitude and silence? A post at mindful.org claims, the impact that mindfulness exerts on our brain is born from routine, a slow, steady, and consistent reckoning of our realities, and the ability to take a step back, become more aware, more accepting, less judgmental, and less reactive. Mindfulness over time can make the brain, and thus ourselves, more efficient regulators, with a penchant for pausing to respond to our world instead of mindlessly reacting. How different would social media conversations be, especially on politics and race, if more people practiced this? Various regions of our brain also change while meditating. The fight-or-flight area actually shrinks in size. It's a real chill pill. God keeps him in perfect peace whose mind has stayed on him. In trying times, we all want to return to happiness. It's a God-given right to pursue it, according to America's founders. The biblical worldview recognizes the inherent brokenness of both creation and human beings. So it is no surprise that confusion, discord, and tragedy, along with evil spiritual powers, steal, kill, and destroy our joy. What can be done? Christian philosopher J.P. Moreland writes, you have it in your power to begin a regimen of choices, assuming you would choose the right things and form a habit of it, that can substantially improve your happiness and decrease or get rid of anxiety. There really is hope. Our non-conscious mind turns thoughts over and over. Through spiritual disciplines and mindfulness, we can bring these into our conscious awareness, which manipulates actual proteins, creating overhauled memories. Intentionally bringing God to mind, His attributes, the wonder of creation, and His blessings, promises, and answered prayers, such a focus like this leads to a cycle of good thinking, feeling, and knowing that turns into believing real truth. Faith is a gift, so we're not alone in doing this, but it's up to us to use the gifts described here to work out our salvation with reverence and proper humility. Remember, we have a strong influence in shaping our brains, especially with God's help. Secular scientists are discovering the wonderful power of thankfulness, for instance. Scientific studies prove 7 benefits according to PsychologyToday.com. Gratitude improves relationships, physical and mental health, sleep, self-esteem, and even mental resilience. It even reduces aggression, the urge for revenge. Scripture aligns with physical reality again when it tells us, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. tell God what you need, and thank Him for all He has done. Moreland jokes, if we're not careful, we may even come to think we're designed to flourish best when we're thankful and grateful. Yet as exciting as these psychological studies are, we didn't need them to know the importance and value of expressing gratitude and thanksgiving to God. The Bible insists on this. It's filled overflowing with exhortations to be grateful to God and express thanksgiving to Him. As King David famously prayed, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." That's joy far beyond happiness. Brain networks form an inner life of the mind. We can switch between various networks constantly. Like a mom monitoring kids running around inside several contained rooms, this enables us to control the controllable, our reactions to events and circumstances. Brain scans confirm how we capture and police rogue thoughts in ways prescribed in Scripture. We take every thought captive to obey Christ. UCLA researchers address how our habitual non-conscious thoughts can drive anxiety, negative self-talk like, "I'll be in real trouble if so-and-so," "What if so-and-so happens next week?" or "I'll probably fail that exam." It's what we say to ourselves in response to any particular situation that mainly determines our mood and feelings. Well, forming a new habit requires doing things you may not want to do in the early stages of formation, as any coach or teacher will tell you. For retraining our brains, experts have devised methods like the four-step solution. It goes as follows. Step 1, relabeling. Call out thoughts as having no necessary connection with reality. Tell yourself, for example, "That's a destructive lie." Guard your heart, for from it spring the issues of life. Step 2, reframing. Take the power out of the bad thoughts. Reset your perception of the deceptive message by being mindful that it exists, its content, and how you are now feeling by correctly categorizing the distorted message. Bad self-talk includes all-or-nothing thinking. For example, "It was a total failure." Overgeneralizing, singling out one thing to focus on, catastrophizing or making too big a deal out of things, and discounting the positive. Step 3, refocusing. Set your mind on anything else. Distract yourself from the negative thoughts. Stop obsessing. Get into the flow of something. Focus elsewhere. And don't ruminate about the message. Analyzing it will deepen the grooves in your brain. And finally, step 4, revaluing. After a while, reflect on how you did in steps 1 through 3. Recommit to repeat these steps throughout the day. Over 21 days, a newly formed neural network will decay in less than a month. Thoughts are like muscles that atrophy and die or get stronger with use. Starve the bad, feed the good. As Paul instructed the Philippian church, dwell on what is good and pure, true, and worthy of praise.